minute, Crossfade.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
The Daily Talk Show, episode 155. Tommy Jacket and Derek Myers.
We're in the house.
Oh, yeah.
Dirty Derek. Thanks for coming on the show, buddy.
My pleasure, boys. You just call and I will come running anytime.
He did. Just a quick setup for Derek. He was on very early days. I reckon you were like top five. Yeah. I don't want to
top five as well.
But he was within the first five of guests on our show. And Derek has a scooter factory. Very quirky cat, I would like to say, and a very understated podcaster. I think it more so for himself than anybody, because we see Josh and I think you're an absolute talent, Derek. And
shucks,
yeah.
And he's blushing. He's absolutely blushing.
Well, that's the one of the few podcasts that I'm listening to while I'm away. I'm currently in south of France right now, in Nice, about to head over to Turkey. But yeah, Derek plugging him into my ears.
Yeah.
Whenever he has a new episode,
we kind of wanted We wanted you to come on the show. Sorry, Josh. Just if you're a first time listener, Josh. Yeah, he's on the other side of the world. Derek and I are in Collingwood in Melbourne, and we're taking advantage of technology to do this show 5 days a week. But last week, Josh, I can safely say it was my fuck up. I don't think you came out and said this. We need to make an apology, and I say we, but I'll do it. But last week we were talking about Big Brother. Actually, that was your fault that we even started talking about Big Brother.
Yeah. Well, I brought up Axel Whitehead, which I think he was on Australian Idol anyway. But it all started on Axel Whitehead and ended up somewhere between hot dogs and a turkey slap.
Yeah. And I have to apologise to hot dogs, who, if you have no idea, he was a contestant on a reality show 15 years ago, so you probably don't know who he is, but he was quite big for the show at that time. Anyway, I said that he was involved in the turkey slap incident. I defamed the bloke. He wasn't. Poor bastard. And
should have asked me.
Luckily, his name's Hot Dogs. I feel like if you can't defame a hot dog, so I think you're pretty safe. If it was like a real name, I'd feel a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, and someone who came to mind after the conversation, we even talked about it on the show, and that was Derek, because you have a bit of affinity for Big Brother.
I do. I've got a little bit of history with Big Brother, and it goes back probably longer than what I've even talked about. It involves a bit of confessional, I guess.
The diary room?
This is it. The diary. Big Brother, I've got a problem. Everyone's teasing me. What happened was, when they introduced Big Brother, the very first season, I wasn't really even aware, in my kind of unawareness. In other words, it probably was happening, but I just never noticed that it was even a TV show. So it was the internet. So there was a Big Brother website, and I could sit there all day in my office and just click kitchen. And then click bathroom, and with the camera unedited, would just go into the different rooms. And so it was just perv, basically being a perv, or voyeur, or taking an interest in what other folk get up to and how they interact.
So was it a TV show as well, or you just hadn't discovered the edited version?
Yeah, that's it.
My
first hook was the voyeurism, not the TV style. So the whole editing thing was another bit of magic that I grew to really love.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so Josh...
And then so Derek, you ended up basically going to Queensland every year at some point to go see... Did you go to see the finale, or did you just go see a random one?
A couple of our members of our secret society did go to a couple of finale or semi-finales or whatever. But no, just mid-season, We'd get the tickets. And I think you were saying the other day that I went on as like a holiday tour kind of thing. No. This was not Contiki. This was more like rock tour than Contiki, I guess. So we actually just, our group, the MBBS, the Melbourne Big Brother Society, there's probably about 10 of us or something like that. And we would just literally just book out a penthouse suite in Surfers Paradise and just book some tickets for an eviction.
Jeez.
And just go and just literally just get completely poleaxed and act like...
What was the demographic like of your group?
Well, mostly more... Well, I was... I have to say I was the oldest, but I was probably... Yeah. I don't know, I have to do some maths, but I wasn't as old as I am now.
How old? How long ago? Just roughly? How many years ago was this?
Well, I'm guessing it must have been about maybe 12 years ago. Ish.
Okay.
When it kicked off, I can't remember the dates, but anyway, that most were a bit younger. So we had basically it was a lot of writers, bloggers, basically the generation before you guys doing what you do, but non-technical. Yeah. But these guys, intellectuals. I was probably the only non kind of creative.
Yeah. So
I guess in the group.
Looking. So this is 12 years ago. You were a part of a group. Was it through a Facebook page or was it through, what was it through? Like a...
No. We're just real friends. Forum? No, real friends. It wasn't, we didn't come together because of our love for Big Brother.
Okay, so a bunch of mates create the society. It's basically what people are doing these days with Married at First Sight. Is it, like upon reflection, looking back 12 years ago, it intrigues me for its uniqueness, and I'll say weirdness because I love you and you're a mate.
Yeah, it is weird.
It seems weird. Does it seem weird?
It is weird. Don't tiptoe around that one. Look, the Big Brother has left a thing that doesn't go away, and that is if you say you're into Big Brother back then, people go, you fucking what? You know, you just get people to look at you sideways and go, you're not being serious, are you?
Yeah.
And that's still... happens downstairs, sweet baby Tom down there, you know, he's just like shaking his head, just not understanding. Whereas my nephew's 22 years old and he's doing a live Facebook after show bachelor kind of crap on, and everyone's into the ironic reality TV fun, and that's what we were doing, basically ironic fun. We were having a 3-day completely unchained weekend on the Gold Coast with only one thing tying it together, and that was,
mate,
the Big Brother Dream World experience. The day in Dream World was the best bit.
The cameras were in the wrong place. They should have been in the Big Brother Society's penthouse.
You can you'll see us if you look back at the I don't know what episodes, but you'll see us in the crowd there with foil hats, and the girls made banners up, you know, saying, hey, Mike, I'm preggers and stuff like that.
Did you ever feel that Big Brother lost its way? Like having started watching early on, did it look like, and how did, like, because I remember hearing that sort of conversation. How did Big Brother actually change for the worst, do you think?
Oh, you're saying for the worst, but when you're in it for the irony, it's just better and better. The more fuck-ups and the more ridiculous decisions they production make, I suppose, is the better it is. It started off with normal people and weirdos, and that bloke who got in the kitchen sink and washed his nuts.
Say I saw that, but I'm glad you're retelling it. It's even better than seeing that.
Yeah, you know, and all these ridiculous people with the ridiculous ideas of how to live in front of cameras. But then it sort of evolved and it looked like they were picking and choosing, and, you know, people would go, oh, they're just trying to pick beautiful people and, you know, or deliberately choosing bitches. It's like, you know, just watch The Bachelor or something like that now, and it's the same shit. Yeah. But it's funnier and funnier. No, I am far more interested in the clever edits and stuff. People go, oh, they edit it to make them look bad. I'm going, how good is that?
That's the good stuff.
Yeah, I love it.
What do you think, like, 2018 Big Brother is? Like, Tommy mentioned The Bachelor. Do you think that there is... has there ever been a better reality show than Big Brother?
I don't know because I haven't watched any after that.
Geordie Shaw, did you ever get into that?
No, I haven't seen it.
God, I got into that. There was
Burned out.
They absolutely nailed it. It's interesting, you know, like think of, there's hundreds of reality shows that have been in existence and you see like these unicorns that come through and they've modeled Jersey Shore, they've done Geordie Shaw and a bunch of other ones and I got hooked on that. I was probably 20 at the time. And it was just, it was debauchery. It was like gross, but somehow it was like just on the precipice. That could be the word for today.
We'll make that the word.
just on the precipice of things becoming, very taboo. Like, you know, actually it's not taboo. It being sexual assault or like it being seen as like you cannot do that. Like a show like the original Jersey Shore would not fly today. It was, you know, absolute debauchery. But I think that's why it was like people were like, holy shit, look at this. They're going so far. And it absolutely took off. These guys made so much money, the contestants, and it was just it was unbelievable. And so that's probably the
only... I actually watched back at the... after we did the episode on Friday, watched back the turkey slap, like the coverage, and I actually couldn't watch the entire turkey slap scene, like just the sort of predatory sort of nature of them, like, oh, come here for a sec. She's like, oh, why? He's like, nah, just come here. It was really fucking gross. Do you remember Derek? And I was like young at the time. I don't think I was able to really sort of compute the like how bad it was being a bit older. Like what was the vibe like from your group of mates? Did you think it was all just a bit of a laugh or was it
when someone fucks up on reality TV it's great, right? but that was just like, no, your grown up comes steaming in from the back of your brain going, fuck, this is shit, you know, like you can it's like laughing at Donald Trump, you know, you go, oh, this is shit, because even though they're going to get condemned, immediately you go, this process is happening in split second and synaptically. Yeah. And it's just like, well, they're going to get in trouble. They're going to get booted off. It's all going to go haywire. The prime minister's going to have – and he did. Someone piped in. Who was it? Was it
– Yeah, John Howard.
John Howard. At the time.
And I don't know if
Paul that was – Hanson. I don't like it.
That might have been it. Didn't she end up running a fish and chip shop and going on as Red Reggie?
Oh, that's right.
They're very similar, but anyway. But yeah, you just go, nah, this is shit because people, it's still exposed to shit things.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what the repercussions are, shit sticks. And if people see it and go, it's on telly, that's fine. You can't guarantee Prime Minister condemning it, stuff like that.
So where was your negative, like where was your sort of annoyance or anger? It wasn't specifically at the person that did it, or was it, do you actually think it was a bigger issue? It was actually Big Brother as a production for airing it and giving it sort of like, well, yeah, what's your thought process around that?
Yeah, it gets to the point where you go, oh, you're a bit shit. If you need to air this, and it's the social dangers I was referring to, then that's shit. No one was applauding Channel, whatever it was.
Mm. Channel 10.
Well, I was trying to be non-supportive there.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, Channel 31 or whoever was putting it on. But no one's applauding. Yeah, no one's applauding them for that bravery or anything like that. It wasn't on, but you just kind of...
Yeah.
You know, that hopefully, did they learn their lesson or were there more incidents like that?
No, I don't know. I know.
I think that's sort of the infamous one. Do you, Derek, you know, with Big Brother, that sort of to me seems like a bit of a obsession that you went through. Can you just describe to us the different, in the last 15 years, your main obsessions? I guess probably finishing at podcasting where you are now. What's the obsessions of Derek, if you were to put it in chapters?
Well, I'm happy to answer that question, but I wouldn't consider the Big Brother an obsession. But
mate,
I would.
You flew to the Gold Coast. I haven't flown anywhere for anything.
You win. All right. So, but it was. I guess it was kind of, I guess, the peak of a friendship situation that was getting wild, you know, like lots of rock mates and lots of partying, and it was a hectic lifestyle. And that was just that probably iconic sort of another symbol of how who gives a shit it got when we would just make a whole thing out of that.
Were you married at the time?
I love that title. But I also love that, like a friendship situation is just a funny way to describe a friendship as well. Like, oh, I think I've got a bit of a friendship situation in the works.
Well, did you have kids at the time? No, they're younger than that.
There's actually a funny story that may get me in a strife, so buckle in.
Perfect.
I'm good. John Howard might have something to say about it.
It must have been after I'd been to a couple of these in a row and it was time to go with again.
You flew the Gold Coast more than once?
Oh, yeah. We did it every year.
You're obsessed.
Yeah, right. So one time we were planning on having a baby, right? The first one, baby Tom. Not the one downstairs or this one.
Yeah.
Or the one that just walked past. So we were planning on having a baby and my wife's going, I don't know if you know the drill when you're planning it. They go, all right, I'm going to have this kind of vitamins or, you've got to. And she's going, you're old. You've got to, your baby batter, I suppose, has to be at a premium.
Baby batter.
Well, I thought
that's
it was
the
a
title
battered,
of the episode.
Battered Sav.
Well, so she's gone, you can't come back. Because when you come back, that's the time. For doing it, I suppose, for the right time for the most chance of getting pregnant. So she's gone, so you can't get wasted for all weekend. Yeah. I'm going, oh, well, you have to decide. She goes, what do you mean? I said, you can only ban me from getting smashed or hookers, but you can't ban me from both, right? And I'll let me make this clear. I have never, ever even been close to seeing a prostitute.
Okay, good.
But it was a joke, right? So yeah. That I was making with her. And she's going, what are you talking about? She didn't know it was a joke at the time. I'm going, well, it's your choice. She goes, oh, all right. So she goes, just don't get smashed. Right? I'm going, oh. And I was like, oh, nah, there's no way I'm going to just try and prove a point here. So anyway, so off we went. She knew I was, most of the gang were girls. Like it was only one or two blokes.
Yeah.
Hot Man, shout out to Hot Man, local photographer.
Yeah.
One of the MBBS, my compadre.
Yeah, I like that Derek thinks he'll be listening. Awesome.
Yeah, well, he will be now when I'm telling him.
Well, then g'day, mate. How are you? Yeah.
So anyway, so went off and probably got more wasted than I've ever been on this weekend and came back and I was just on the couch, just terrified of being summoned to the chamber to
procreate.
Not because of the condition of my seed, but just because I just was broken. It was like, don't make me do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she walked into the lounge room and I went, oh no, we mean no harm. And she walked in and she just put the piss stick down on the table and went, relax. Job's done.
Oh.
It was already done. I was free.
Before. Well done. Yeah.
So there you go. So I was already going to be a daddy.
Amazing.
And that was it. That was probably, I think it was the last time I went.
Okay.
And that was the last time we had sex.
No, we had one other child.
Oh, I mean.
So what were the obsessions, Derek? If Big Brother isn't an obsession, what were your obsessions?
Well, I've been obsessed with a few things. Like I've been obsessed with the scooters, obviously around about, well, probably before that era, but that kind of built into a business. and different aspects of them too. But I don't know. I sort of, once I'm off them, I just block them right out.
Mm.
I got a bit obsessed with e-bikes recently, and I got a little bit disillusioned, I suppose, with the Melbourne people. Melbourne people. Well, e-bikes is just sweeping the world.
Ah, yeah.
You know, this magical form of commuting. And then you get
so
to
it's
Melbourne,
a bike with a battery,
tights
like, and
wearing
a motor
wankers going, who are you cheating, mate?
What
do you mean? I'm a fucking big, fat, old, middle-aged guy who's not driving a four-wheel drive. You're fucking driving a four-wheel drive to work five times a day. You put your tights on for half an hour and suddenly you're calling me cheating.
Yeah. It's, I mean, there's a big subculture. And yeah, Josh is right. Explain what an e-bike is.
Oh, sorry. Electric assist bicycle. So it's a bicycle, legally. So it has pedals and it has a motor, electric motor that assists you.
Mm. So and there's some like epic ones. You can buy, I've seen one that's about 10 or 15 grand. It's like a downhill mountain bike and it's got the motor on it. So it's electric assist as well.
Yeah, they're
but I think it's illegal, right?
Stealth, they're called.
Like,
yeah.
They go like not 80 kilometres an hour.
Yeah, they're not.
Ridiculous.
They're not illegal to ride on private land. But they're illegal to pretend they're a bicycle.
They've banned them in some national parks because they're tearing them up like motorbikes do.
Yeah, and they're sort of silent as well. So they kind of come around the corner
that's
and
crazy.
Wipe out bushwalkers.
Yeah, well, Josh, Derek and I were having this conversation the other day because I was obsessed with motorized scooters. Campton had one, I had one, a couple of the other boys had one. I got it for my year 7 birthday. Everyone gave me cash. And I just remember counting that cash and just getting my scooter. I was so pumped. And that was a thing. Go on.
So illegal. So illegal. Well, I just remember as a kid, like I loved the idea of them, but we sort of, in our family, I think maybe as a mechanism so that my parents could get away with not getting me one, but they were like, every time we'd see someone riding past in it, Mum would have a big spiel about how illegal they were.
So I reckon, because you were a couple of years younger, it was probably just at the time, because by the time I had finished with them, they'd become illegal. But there was a real culture around that. Like,
was this a petrol motor?
Petrol whippersnipper motor. Like,
yeah, there's still one
stroke.
Gets around up and down easy.
Really?
Street. Yeah.
And so you've seen the evolution of this stuff. There is like real subcultures of these fun toys that sort of come out when something is released.
Definitely. What happened was that the Bogans discovered you could get away with bringing in these things they called monkey bikes. They're like little tiny little mini bikes, and they were under they worked within the law. And then the Bogans were all cashing in their super and bringing in containers from China of these shitty little things. And then they made them and then they just changed the law. And they all got tripped up and they were stuck. So the market was flooded with these useless little mini bikes that no one could use on the road.
I do remember the mini bikes.
Someone killed someone on one. So this young kid was riding one and hit a woman and or a young person, they died.
Yeah.
And so then they really put their foot into it. Did you ever get a mini bike?
No. I haven't had a mini bike since I was a kid.
From the Hamish and Andy episode, they were talking about racing around a roundabout. They were on those monkey bikes. That's what they were.
Where was it? Singapore or somewhere.
It
was Southeast Asia somewhere.
Yeah, but crazy. But, and so hang on, just quickly, but, the superannuation. Yeah. People legitimately dipping into that.
Well, you know, I might have just made that up, but
it sounded great. I shouldn't have pulled you up on it.
But what I'm saying is they got on. It was like a, you know, like Wall Street in the early days. They went nuts and went like Bitcoin or whatever. They just went, whoa, this is going off tap. People paying heaps of money for these. You can get them from China.
Yeah,
they
brought them in.
but then they just banned them. And that was the end of it.
Ridiculous.
So, Derek, I have sort of a half of a memory of finding out about you before the scooter stuff. Were you making like metal sculptures or some shit? Or did I completely make
that was
up?
Gons.
No, it was me.
I wonder if you reckon?
No, it was actually Derek. I remember him telling me a story about it, but I thought this is a good opportunity to find out what the deal
the
was.
Oh, the fabricating stuff. Yes.
I came back from living in the UK when I was in my 20s and I thought I like the idea of making wrought iron things like candlesticks and stuff, but I had no idea on how to do that. So I started up this little, down here in Abbotsford, it's now the Abbotsford Tools. It was like a squat. It was like Top Cat. It was crazy. It was feral. There's like just a rock band squatting next door and we got to hear Augie March's first, rehearsal kind of thing next door. And I was making candles and candlesticks and stuff. And I went out on the piss to a place called The Club. And I was playing pool with this hottie. And She said, I said, what do you do? No, she said, what do you do? And I said, I'm a sculptor. It was just a straight out lie, right? Absolute lie. And she goes, oh, what do you do? I said, I just makes, you know, sculptures.
Fake it till you make it.
Of steel. And I was like, oh, fuck. And I said, what do you do? She goes, I'm a journalist. Actually, I need to do a story on a sculptor. I've got, give me your details. I'll come around. I'm going, okay. So I woke up the next morning with the shittest hangover ever and just went into where I was like had bits of metal and a welder where I was making little candlesticks to sell at the market and went, right, sculpting. And I just made this huge sculpture. Ended up putting some in a gallery and stuff like that. So I actually
really?
From that I actually became a sculptor for a while.
Shit.
And then went back to the more useful furniture and whatnot.
God.
Is that how the podcasting happened as well?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, how is that? What's been the evolution of that? Like, so last time we spoke, when you were on the show, we were at your old dino converted into a studio. You had hammocks up, and you were doing an Instagram show about. Vinyls called the Aussie Vinyl Show.
Yep.
Where are you at now?
Right. So I think traditionally you would say if you were going to advise someone who's interested in doing a podcast, someone that had an idea, you'd say, just go in and do it. Get hold of a little recorder, some mics. Get stuck in, mate. Get stuck in. Sort it out, but don't make it sound too shit.
Yeah. Throw your pussy on the end of it.
Yeah, have a crack at it. I don't know what that means, but...
I've never heard of that in my life.
Have a crack, you pussy.
Oh, right, okay.
It's like, you sounded
you were
like it was,
more
some,
advice
it was a real Australian.
Or something.
Like Australians is like, you're weak as piss if you don't just have a crack, you pussy.
Yeah, exactly.
Know what I mean?
Get in there. Stop fucking around. Stop messing around.
Yeah.
Whereas when you talked about obsession before, I will separate podcasting from building a podcasting studio because that was an obsession. Yeah. I admit it. Put my hand up.
Building the studio.
I loved it. You know, I've been working in this place for 20 years. It's been welding and stinky, burning steel. Mm. It's, you know, it's full of fumes and petrol now and oil and filth and grime. And it was just awesome to just to work in this nice, clean room and make something nice. You know, I got a kick out of that. But I got obsessed, you know, with the equipment and all that sort of thing. But I say, you don't have to do that. We all know you don't have to do that. But I love that. But now my... actual podcasts, I think of them as a different obsession altogether than building the room.
Mm.
Yeah, interesting. What has been the biggest learning around it all?
Getting on. I was actually fascinated. Last time we spoke, I was talking maybe before, maybe on air about how I get super, super nervous.
Mm.
Well, I get not stage fright because when you're on the stage, it's just game on. But how prior to that, you know, like if someone says, be the best man at my wedding in 2 years' time, the next 2 years are shit for me.
You're on pills.
Right. And I get super, super nervous. But actually doing a regular podcast yourself has made it, like when you said, oh, come on today, I'm going, yeah. I didn't think twice about it. Yeah, I did. You know, obviously I learned to do a bit of research. I made sure I knew what Hot Dogs was doing these days.
And what is Hot Dogs doing these days? Well, Josh, just quickly, he created a cheat sheet for the podcast.
Do you want to hear the notes?
Can we just run through? Yeah. We need to run through the Big Brother cheat sheet. This is
he's got an Excel, Google Drive set up.
This is awesome. Right, so here's number one. It's just we've already covered it, how season one was about voyeurism. So I'm glad you asked.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if you didn't. Experiment with Eliza and Fraser. Ah, I don't know if you've got time for this one. This old story.
Yeah, we do.
But so when Big Brother started and was on TV and it became more known, I guess, after season one or the middle of season one. So after my whole initial voyeurism thing, I was sitting in the lounge room in Napier Street, Fitzroy, kind of being all yuppies. And we were having a talk about those dickheads, how what's wrong with these fucking people? How can they do that on telly. Surely they know. Yeah. How can they sit there and bitch? Like, the whole world can listen to them and rah, rah, rah. And one of us, let's say me, says, came up with a suggestion. Maybe you just forget that quickly. Maybe that's human nature, or maybe they especially pick stupid people, right? So we took an old video camera, the experiment, and we put it in the lounge room pointing at us and hit record and then went back to sitting there. We weren't plying ourselves. Like, we accused producers of, oh, they must ply.
Fucking goggle box.
Yeah.
The original goggle box.
We weren't even watching Big Brother. We were just sitting there knowing the camera's pointing at it and just playing to it. And I swear, about an hour later, someone went, oh, fuck, the camera. Oh, yeah. And we all of us admitted that were things that we'd said in the last hour that we would not cope with being on TV. Yeah. So, and that was sitting there trying for an hour to be aware of it, and we forgot, and we consider ourselves pretty intelligent.
Oh, 100%. You get swept up. The excitement of it all, it's, you see why. They know how to manufacture the environment that brings this out. Plus, I think knowing, I mean, even if you turn it on, you will forget at some point, and you'll still be on, and the cameras are still rolling. What else you got?
Well, even with podcasting, you can't, like, probably once every two episodes I say something that I regret. Has that been something that you've had to cope with, Derek, with your podcasting?
Well, yeah, really. I think I've got a live, a pretty heavy buffer. I think I'm a 486 with a modern buffer, which is problematic because sometimes I just go... that's why a co-host is really handy, because sometimes I just stop and go, hang on a minute. So the buffer's probably a little bit more intense than the actual product itself. Mm. But no, I think I've got a live buffer. I probably overthink things. Like, before this, I went, oh, I wonder, you know, one of our gang, I thought, I better not name names, but one of our gang is, you know, quite a lot of them are pretty grown up and successful now in their fields. And I thought, oh, I better not put them in it for being... you know, wasted in the Gold Coast and stuff like
that. Hang on, there's just one here, Josh. Hang on, there's just one. I'm just reading. What's this? That one night with Gretel Colleen. What the? I'm joking.
Oh, I thought I deleted that.
I was going to say something. I won't. This is the self-filtering type of thing. You don't always have to outdo the jokes. Yeah, you talking about that, I think that's why you and Dan work really well on What Now, because Dan goes down these rabbit holes, is like determined that all cults are just a bunch of pedophiles. And then you're talking, you're simultaneously selling in why you want to start a cult. And then you have this brain fuck where you're like, but I'm not a pedophile, Dan. Stop fucking saying that every cult is made up of pedophiles. That.
Yeah, all right. Maybe you're right. Dan, he got hooked. Like, he came on as a guest of, there's a podcast that I produce called More Than a Whelan, which is a poetry podcast, quite specialized.
Good plug.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
That's great.
Say
that. We're happy for him. He's got it on his show, on his notes too.
But I love
plug.
Stop
it,
making
More Than
stuff
a Whelan.
but Dan came in as a guest because he's a writer, he's a playwright. Mm. So. Then my host was late, so I snaffled him up. It's probably unethical, and chucked him on the microphone and put him on as a guest on my show.
On your podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was meant to be More Than
first.
A Whelan.
Yeah, yeah. He did
That's
both.
Classic.
That
Perfect.
Day.
But he is your friend. You've
but
known
then,
him for years.
Yeah, but then he kind of contacted me and said, oh, that was, I loved that. I really loved it. And I'm going, come on then. Let's go.
Yeah. That's evolution of creativity. It's something you didn't plan on it. That's when a lot of it's the best. Like this podcast Josh and I are doing. We have known each other for a while. It was the first kind of thing, actually the second thing after doing some YouTube videos. But we just did it and we're like, hang on, this kind of works. Good banter.
Yeah, when you don't force it, I think that's the key. Give us two more, Derek. All right, two okay. more interesting facts that we from your fact
Stinky
sheet.
Stinky Todd at M&M. It says here, in I think season one there was a guy who had dreadlocks, and the other housemates were calling him Stinky.
Yeah,
right. Probably just had natural. odour and something.
Anyway, natural stink.
But you know the shallow teenagers, you know what they're like. Anyway, I'm back in the stinky guy. But anyway, he actually shaved his dreadlocks off to try and get, you know, more attention and everything on the show while he was on there.
Yeah.
But he got evicted. But in those early days, people were going hell for leather into famous dudes. But it was tricky for him around Fitzroy because one of the, you know, an ex-housemate, even when they were fresh, would sit by the fire in a local bar and everyone would especially not notice him.
Mm.
Right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like people that Fitzroy
fame. That's a Northside thing as well, right? That's like,
I think it's a bit mean. I want to rally against that because what do you go on a reality TV show for?
Fine.
Not to sort of, yeah, exactly. Or anything. Like I want to be, yeah. You know, I'd love people
yeah,
to
notoriety.
Go, oh
you
my
want-
God, it's you.
Yeah.
But anyway, this guy, one of my, one of the MBBS, she got us tickets. Shout out to Holly C. She got
we know
us.
She's listening.
That was her special secret radio name.
Interesting.
On Triple R. But anyway, see, she.
I love that Derek comes on this show and does in jokes.
She got this way. I'll find out if anyone's listening.
Perfect.
From it's my awesome. Account. He's planting seeds just to make sure that his mates are listening.
So for you. So she got us tickets to see Eminem. At the tennis center or one of those.
Yeah,
tennis
I went
things.
That year. He came. That would have been what? Oh,
crazy.
Over 10 years ago.
I was a legit grown up by then.
Yeah,
well
I was
truly.
A legit peewee.
Yeah. But all you guys, like every scumbag, like teenage thug
yeah.
from the whole of outer Melbourne, like deep outer Melbourne, was all at this one place at the one time. And there we were with good tickets down on the floor with this guy. Who came along with us, Todd, who'd come out of the Big Brother house.
Classic.
Right? And so we used to Fitzroy, was, don't worry about it, because people especially ignore you. John Safran was standing like 10 feet away.
Did you see?
He joined our crew. We're having a chat with him. And then all these people, all these kids started going, oh my God, it's Toddy. And it kicked off so hard. Like the whole thing was pointing, the whole arena, like English soccer fans were going, Toddy, Toddy. And all these, like stormtrooper, like all the security guards in the whole building ended up making a wall around us. And all these kids are breaking through and running up just to touch him.
That's
just touching
great.
Him, going, G'day, Toddy. Some, they call him all kinds of names. They didn't know. They just knew he was famous and they were going to town. It
That's
was
great.
It was just really frightening and really bizarre. At the
what
same
was John
time.
Safran doing at that moment?
He was just going, what the hell?
I'm famous too.
Did
you,
nah,
do you know who I went to that concert with? Richard Stubbs.
Oh, really?
You know, the radio presenter? He was really famous back then. And I remember walking through. He was my mate's cousin at the time. And we got a limo in there and we went underground, got the lift up and we're walking through. But yeah, he was famous and people were... I just remember that was like a first taste of being around someone that famous. Good to know that you were there having the same experience.
Oh, man, it was just insane. Do you remember chatting Toddy? Toddy, I remember
seeing that, but I wouldn't have had any, I wouldn't have any idea at that point.
No, it was nuts. And it was just, you know, it's like that thing when an election happens and you go, oh, that's right. Everybody is not like me.
is there really? Any limousine nowadays that isn't a bit naff?
Oh yeah.
Like can you actually take a limousine at, like as a high profile celebrity person? Like it feels like it's something that's gone completely off the radar. It seems like limousines are exclusively for bogans going to Bali who need to get to the airport.
Yeah, if as long as the number plate says lim for hire or something on it. That's pretty cool. I think if I was going to be getting up there in the super fame, I think I would send my mates in the limo and turn up in the old Subaru Forester.
I think I'd prefer like a Bentley sitting in the back of a Rolls Royce or a Bentley.
Can I upgrade my Forester?
I just want simple things. Sorry. I just want a Tesla.
Yeah.
Once I get like I'm not really into cars. But I feel like I was speaking to a mate about it the other day. It's like the Tesla is just a sexy car, especially like all the inside the electronics and stuff like that.
There is a company that does all chauffeur cars, Teslas. They've only got Teslas, so there's like a chauffeur service only in Teslas. There's something for everybody,
maybe
mate.
I just do that instead,
and
don't even have to buy one.
No, don't buy one.
I want one,
Derek. Mate, Thanks for making the 100-meter walk to
it's been
in Collingwood.
I haven't missed one word of your show, by the way. I listened to what you were saying on Friday.
Oh, good.
And, word. There's plenty of driving out to my parents' house time for other podcasts.
Oh, perfect. I'm glad. And yeah, everyone, make sure you listen to Derek's podcast, What Now? If you actually go onto iTunes or the podcast app and you see what other people are listening to, What Now is one of the top ones when you look at our show.
Shit, yeah.
So, just basically us all listening to ourselves in a big circle jerk,
mate,
as we like to do.
Next minute we'll be on the plane to the Gold Coast for a weekend together, all us local podcasters.
Mate, I think we should 100% should do some sort of podcast trip. But it's the Daily Talk Show, everyone. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com. If you want to send us an email, maybe you might be a previous contestant on Big Brother. Is it contestant? What would you call it? It's
housemate.
A fucking
yep.
Housemate. Yeah. If you're listening, you're a Big Brother housemate, let us know.
We'll catch you tomorrow, guys.
Bye-bye.